It's Al's Boring Podcast.
Oh, hi there, Al Dukes here, and we are back in the Matawan home office for another Boring Podcast with Paul.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Paul. Our last podcast was our first of the new year.
Yes.
Resolutions and predictions. And I have some viewer mail to begin with, Paul, and a couple of them reference last week's episode.
Okay.
So hopefully people are not listening to these things out of order or they're going to be lost.
Right.
Very lost. Here's one from a man named Mayor Kevin Scarpatti. Heard your podcast yesterday and you guys mentioned your memories of enjoying chocolate coins.
Well, is this the thing?
This is the thing, Paul.
Oh, okay.
Your chocolate coins have come up often on social media.
Okay.
Mayor Kevin says, well, along with being mayor of a tiny city in Connecticut, I work for a local chocolate company.
This guy is well-rounded.
Thompson Chocolate.
Okay.
That manufactures various coins. I want to connect with you.
Oh, wow.
That's right. So I reached out to Mayor Kevin. We've connected on coins. I've given him the home office address here.
That's unbelievable.
I am going to connect you, Paul, with coins.
Thompson
coins. Chocolate.
Okay.
They actually do engraving on the coins.
Mm.
I'm hoping they send me coins that say Paul on them. Because I said, oh, I would love to give some to Paul,
yeah,
hoping he would read into that. I didn't want to straight up ask him because I thought maybe they're more expensive to do with that.
Right, right. You're like M&M's do a personalized, you can get them at the M&M store. Right.
Right.
With your face on it, I think.
Yes, well, yeah. You can do that with your face on it.
Huh.
All computerized these days. Dan Barrick checking in. He's the fellow who works over at HGTV, Paul.
Mm.
The chocolate coins that Paul likes are called gelt.
Gelt.
Okay. Definitely a Jewish candy and a Hanukkah staple.
Huh.
Interesting that he gets them in his Christmas stocking. Kind of would be like me getting candy canes for Hanukkah. Oh, well. Enjoy. Mazel tov.
Huh.
Also, wonder if you and Paul are a little nervous about your surprise celebrity death predictions coming true and possibly becoming suspects since you discussed it before it happened.
No.
You're not worried. Who was on your list? Do you remember?
I picked Kathy Griffin. For
some you had Kathy Griffin on,
yeah,
your list, right?
You had quite a Artie Lang.
I had Artie Lang. I had Teen Mom Farrah Abraham.
Mm.
And I had Macaulay Culkin,
okay,
on my list. Hmm. This one comes to us from Caitlin, Paul. She writes to us quite frequently on Twitter. She has her name here as Caitlin Manuel Miranda, but I don't think she's related.
That's the Hamlet guy?
That's the Hamlet guy.
Not Hamlet. Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hamilton. Sliding into the DMs to ask a bathroom question. My coworkers and I listened to the podcast, and we were discussing the wet wipe situation after going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you said you like to go to the bathroom and then take a shower. One of our coworkers thinks this means you don't wipe on the toilet and just get immediately into the shower, what he calls an aqua dump. Apparently, this is a thing.
Mm.
Please provide more details on yours and Paul's what... wiping habits. Thanks.
Behind the scene video.
Yeah. Here's how we wipe. I would never go right from the toilet to the shower.
Me neither.
That's disgusting.
Right.
I would imagine like it getting on the shower floor.
Right.
Which I don't want any part of.
Yeah, I would never.
You don't do that.
No, I would always clean myself, mm-hmm, as best I can.
Right.
Sometimes there's you need a little extra.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say if I knew I was going to shower immediately, I'm not going to do as great a job,
right,
as if I were going to put my pants right back on.
Right.
But I'm not going to go in there sloppy.
You're not going to waste a roll if you know you're
right,
going to shower.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes, yeah, that's correct. Exactly, Paul. All right. Here, what's our next one? This comes from Gino. Listen to
your girlfriend?
No, that's Gina.
What
this
is
Gino.
Gino. Oh,
Gino,
okay.
A fella.
Dr. Gino.
Dr. Gino, yes. just listen to the bathroom podcast revisited. I have to know, since the why never got mentioned, what specifically does Paul have such an issue with where he would stop himself up for days with pills, Imodiums, rather than just risk a going number two at work. I'm with you guys on a lot of your thoughts and such, but that one blows my mind. I have to know the actual reasoning behind it.
There's a million people that have problems going in a public restroom, right?
Right.
Now, not even just number two.
Right. Some people have a hard time just peeing.
Yeah.
Now, I recall that in my experience with you taking Imodiums, it was if we were going to go to a dinner, like a hibachi, which would sometimes cause
trigger
diarrhea.
Yeah.
And then we had plans like the strip club.
Right.
Where you didn't want to be going to the bathroom and stinking.
Right.
I don't recall you just randomly on a random Tuesday popping a couple of Imodiums.
No, I prefer not to, but if it was plans after a dinner, you would rather not feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Now, do you remember when we ate at the Bushwhackers restaurant? We probably talked about this before.
The Bushwhackers, the wrestlers?
Yes.
They had a restaurant in Tampa.
They had a knockoff of Outback Steakhouse. It was the Bushwhacker Steakhouse or something along those lines. If you remember, you got a picture with one of the Bushwhackers was walking around.
Cleaning. He was?
Yeah, you got a picture with him. I think he licked your face.
Yes. Where would that photo be?
Well, what happened was in my camera, it was back before digital cameras. Okay. It, when you took a photo of it, something happened with the film and it got double.
Like pictured. Double exposure?
Yeah. So it never.
Oh, it didn't work.
Right. I could swear I've seen the picture. Wow, it's really echoey in here today, right?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I'm pretty sure I've seen the double picture before in my life, but I don't recall if I've ever shown you or if my mom would have that somewhere.
Yeah, see if your mom has, just give her a call. Hey, do you have that photo of Alan, one of the Bushwhackers?
In a frame.
In a frame, double exposed from Florida.
So anyway, after that meal, I was not feeling very well right away.
After the Bushwhackers meal.
Yeah, but
no
was trying to fight it.
Yeah.
And we went to a strip club right after that.
Okay.
Do you remember this or no?
Not yet.
Okay. The strip club we went to was Mons Venus.
The Mons Venus.
Yeah. If you've ever been to the Mons Venus in Tampa, which is a very famous strip club, the bathroom has a bouncer.
Yes.
Attendant. No door in the stall.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a toilet.
Right.
So you could not go there.
Right.
Right. So I was really grinding in my seat myself. And I was like, oh my God, maybe I'll just walk back to the Bushwhackers and go use their bathroom.
Right, since it's their fault anyway.
Right. And you turned to me and you said, I need to go to the bathroom. You told me that. And we drove back to your condo in Tarpon Springs? Oldsmar.
Oldsmar, Florida.
Yeah.
So which was not close.
It was not close at all.
So we went back there, both went to the bathroom.
And then we took a shower.
And then went back out?
Yep.
Nowadays, if that happened to us now, I'd be like, we're in for the night.
100%.
Not worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right.
But we had spent, though, I think the entry fee to the Mons Venus is probably $25.
At least $20 back then. Can you imagine what that is now? What do you think it was $20 in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
This is 20 years later.
Right. You did get a free soda with that.
You did.
Yeah.
in a Dixie cup. Here's an interesting one, Paul. This comes from a fella named Sal. I won't give his last name because I'm not even sure if he wants me to tell this story.
Okay.
But he said, I was listening to your podcast with Paul and you were talking about if you would date a little person.
Mm.
I interned for Howard Stern for 8 months in 2001.
Okay.
One time I had to accompany Bridget the Midget, who was a porn star.
Yeah, she was fairly attractive, I remember.
One time I had to accompany Bridget the Midget back to her hotel after the show because she was drunk and Baba Booey wanted to make sure she got to her room okay. She was flirting with me before and after her appearance. In the town car on the ride to the hotel, she was being sexually aggressive with me.
Huh.
And then when we got to the hotel, she invited me up to have a good time.
Okay.
I definitely considered it, but ultimately declined. May have decided to go up there if she was sober. It definitely would have been a wild experience, but with her being drunk, she probably would have fallen asleep in my arms and I would have been creeped out in a quiet hotel room. Would have been like something out of a David Lynch film.
Hmm.
Now, I said you did the right thing. You can never, like, if if the woman is drunk and you are not,
right,
that's got to be off limits.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, right. If your guys are partying together.
Yes, and you both don't know better.
Kind of lose your inhibition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
But you found Bridget the Midget, which she called her. By the way, midget is not a proper term.
No.
But that's her name.
Moniker.
That's the name she chooses.
Right. I can remember her being attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I haven't seen her since that E! Show that day.
You know, right.
That was 100 years ago.
Many years ago.
But yeah, I mean, I probably would have made out with her.
You would have.
If I was in my 20s and interning on Howard Stern.
Right. You'd be like, this is part of...
The perks.
This is part of the perks.
Right, yeah.
Like, make out in the town car.
And if I was looking to get ahead in radio, I'd probably, right. I'd have a story.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me, Baba Booey, get this right to Howard. Get me on the air with this one. I was in a town car.
Yeah.
All right. Paul, what is today's topic?
This is kind of a vague topic.
It's vague. All
we
right.
did back in the day, I think. Like, we just did the gym podcast.
Right.
We reran that one.
Mm-hmm.
This is the cars podcast.
The Cars Podcast.
Yeah.
All things about cars.
Yeah, we did a commuting podcast, mm-hmm. and maybe we hit some of these things before.
Not a lot of them, because that was more about the actual commute itself.
Right, to, you know, subways and trains and things like that. But
this is just all about cars.
A general topic, cars.
And much like we did a fashion podcast, even though we don't really have a lot of a fashion advice or knowledge.
Right.
We're doing this cars podcast, and we don't really know that much about cars.
Very, very little.
Very little.
Yeah.
But I will say, I've had my car now over 5 years.
Okay.
It's got 125,000 miles on it.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have been considering selling my car and going to get a car.
Okay. So you bought this car.
I bought this car new.
You had previously leased vehicles?
I leased a vehicle once.
The Ford Escape?
I had a Ford Escape, which I leased. And then since then I just did purchases.
Okay.
I think. I maybe leased two in a row. No, I purchased.
After the Escape was this car, right?
Yeah. I had a black a 2007 Escape, which I purchased.
Mm-hmm.
Then I leased a 2010 Escape.
Okay.
Then I got this car after that.
Okay.
Which I initially did the 5-year plan on, where you'd make a payment.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, I think, the most surprising things when you go to buy a car now,
that
even not a great car, like not a car that you would say is like a luxury car,
mm-hmm.
but an everyday car,
Toyota Corolla, Honda Accord,
Right. a Nissan Altima. These are like average everyday cars.
Yeah.
If you don't put much money down,
mm-hmm.
and you even get a 5-year term with very little interest,
okay.
Let's say no interest.
Yeah.
Let's say I'm going to give you this. You pay this off in 5 years, no interest.
Mm-hmm.
You are still looking at $500 a month.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because 60 months, which is 5 years, at $500. Only get you a $30,000 car.
Okay.
Which is kind of like where the cars are these days.
Right, sure.
So sometimes when you go to be like, oh, I'm going to get this car and I'm going to try to get something reasonable, there's not a lot of reasonable cars.
Right, yeah, you're right.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, you're a lease car kind of guy.
I was. This car.
This was a purchase?
Yeah, because I drive so many miles.
Yes.
In the past, I was commuting via train,
mm-hmm.
and those were great because I turned the one car in. I think I may have had 25,000 miles on it
after 3 years.
Yeah, and it was like, in retrospect, I probably should have bought that car.
Right, it would be worth more.
Right, but
now my financial man that I listen to on the radio, Paul, you always giggle when I mention Dave Ramsey.
Yes,
he calls it a car fleece, and he doesn't want anyone leasing cars.
Oh, is that right?
He thinks it's a ripoff.
Huh. I wish I leased this car. If I didn't have that many miles, I would definitely lease a car again.
Well, here's the thing, though, which I don't understand with the leases, because those are always the ones that they hit you up on the car advertising, whether that's on the on your television,
uh-huh.
or if you still read newspapers, where it's like, get this a Honda Accord for $149 a month.
Uh-huh.
You're like, why am I paying $500 a
right.
month?
Yeah, exactly.
But that, to me, it's always like, don't you have to put a lot of money down?
No, not necessarily. Maybe 2,000, something in that range.
Okay.
Right?
And then you pay
that. You have lower payments.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can only use the car for like 10,000 miles a year.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So that's got to be for people that like live right near where they work.
All right. Or work from home.
Yeah. That's true.
Would be good. Yeah. And then somebody that's like, I've told you, I had to take my car into the shop.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't even want to deal with that in any way.
Now, if you have a lease, do you have to pay for a car repairs, or is it still under warranty?
It would still be under warranty if you're, in that.
Yes, in that 3-year period.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you're really way over your miles, because 36,000 miles, right? Isn't that usually right.
For 3 years, 36,000 miles.
Yeah.
And I do 25,000 a year.
Okay.
On my cars.
So you'd be a good lease candidate.
sorry, you owe us $50,000 for this car. Now, let me ask you this. When you leased your car,
mm-hmm.
did you feel less likely to drive it because you didn't want to put miles on it?
At certain times I did, yeah.
Where you're like, I want to go for a ride. It's a beautiful day. But
not that extreme.
You did.
But, I was aware of the fact that the one car was over my mileage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well.
So even like taking a trip to the 7-Eleven cost you something.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, even just up the road.
Right. I was leasing my car when I moved to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember that, I was like, huh, this is going to be.
You had a Honda.
Mercury Cougar.
Oh, a Cougar, yeah. Right. You were a Cougar guy.
Yeah. But I took the auto train.
Mm-hmm. To save mileage.
Of course, yeah. But
that went from like outside of Orlando to outside of Washington, D.C.
That's right.
The auto train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's say miles on
yes.
that. Yeah.
Now I know one time you had a lease with many, many miles over.
Yeah.
What was that situation? How did that end?
I don't remember.
If you bought another, I think the way they worked it out, if I recall.
Yeah.
Like let's say it was maybe it was that Mercury Cougar.
No. I was under the miles for that.
Oh, for that one?
The Nissan Maxima, it was way over the
Maybe that was yeah. the one, where if you bought a Nissan from them.
Which I did.
Then they would give you a little bit more of a break?
Yeah, they did.
But you owed some money, right?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Which you rolled into your new car payments?
I think, I don't mess. Even remember. I mean, that's one of those things where you're like, what is happening here?
When you were there, they're like, we're going to take these. You owe us this. We're going to roll it into this with the low percentage.
I remember being around Christmas. I was just thinking of like, there were so many things in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a lot of things that you just wanted it over with.
Pretty much I would have signed anything.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So that was your lease situation.
Right.
So
I think that's a good, I would definitely do that again.
You would lease.
If I was working from home, could calculate the mileage.
And, right.
Yeah, my girlfriend leases her car, and she couldn't be happier.
So every 3 years, she gets a new car.
Right.
But she's got to come up with $2,000.
Yeah, but
her payments are lower.
That's right, yeah. Okay. So she doesn't have to deal with the headache of going to a repair shop or, you know?
Could you ever imagine paying cash for a car?
No.
Like rolling up there with 30 grand.
Right.
And scratching a check. Like, even if you had that in the bank.
Yeah.
Let's say you had $50,000 in the bank, Paul, in a savings account. You just have it sitting there.
Right.
50 grand. To take 30 out for a car seems wasteful, doesn't it?
It seems like an unwise investment.
It does seem like an unwise investment. Right.
That'd be something you'd be like, well, if I was a Dave Ramsey type.
Yes, a financial guy.
Right. He would probably say, finance it and put X amount away in a money market.
Right.
I have no idea. I'm just saying.
This guy's not into financing anything.
Oh, really?
He wants you to pay cash.
Oh, okay.
What about these people that say, now back in the day, when you would get a car, like I remember my father was going like, well, what if you paid cash? You could get a better deal. Like, you know, they would like the back years ago.
Right.
The car dealerships wanted you to pay cash. But nowadays, the car dealerships themselves, or like Nissan or Honda, they have the financing programs.
Right.
So they want you to finance it.
Yeah, why it would behoove them to get that interest.
It behooves them to get the interest, right.
I remember Louis C.K. was telling a story on Howard Stern about he was going to buy a $35,000 watch.
Mm-hmm.
He had was doing pretty well.
I guess so.
And then He's like, why am I buying this watch? I could go buy a car.
Right.
And he went and bought a, I think it was a Ford Flex, which is really a bad looking car.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
it's almost like a minivan.
Yes.
It's really long.
Yes.
So I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, so that's the only reference I have of someone paying cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My sister has always paid cash.
The one married to a dentist?
No.
Oh.
The other one that is very good with her money.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever money she has, she's very good at it.
Okay.
And they pay cash.
Wow.
They just go up there and then I would just think like, wow, I could never write that check.
Yeah.
Now, what about this situation? And I've considered this. What if you bought, what are you thinking on? You buy a one-year-old car with not a lot of miles on it.
Okay.
Because they say that when you buy the new car, a brand new car, it goes down in value, Paul, they say, as soon as you drive off the lot.
Yeah. I get that.
I get that, yes.
But why is that car on the lot after 1 year?
Well, someone like you had a lease on it.
After a year, they gave it up or they couldn't make
the
payments?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. The ones that are a
check
year.
Check the Carfax.
Do you trust the Carfax?
I don't think so.
You don't?
No. You?
I feel like I do.
Really?
But like if I crashed my car right now.
Yeah.
And I don't
report it
to
your insurance company.
And I just have like my buddy Vinny fix it for
me.
That's not on no Carfax report.
Of course, yeah.
Right?
I told you my former barber, when I was complaining about my lease being
while you're
over,
getting your haircut?
Yeah, he was like, oh, take it to this guy. He'll reverse your odometer.
Which is very illegal.
Very illegal. It's against. I watched YouTube videos how they do it.
Really?
Because I was contemplating it.
You are, because you were desperate.
It was just a stress factor.
Yes.
I didn't do it ultimately, but I did see them do it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy put it back to zero.
This car's brand new.
I mean, I don't know how you would. Maybe you'd have to drive cross country just to get it back
to a respectable number.
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't really rolling it back. He just reset it to zero.
That's a good question. I don't remember exactly. I don't know if he was able to type in the number or if he just reset it to zero.
Right.
But I was like, what would stop these dealers, these car salesmen are, unscrupulous.
Unscrupulous.
Yeah. So they'd be willing to do whatever it takes.
And then how about this? Would you ever buy a car off of a nondescript lot?
No.
Exactly.
No way.
One of these like corner lots on like a Route 1 or 9.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot on St. George Avenue.
Yes.
Like Rahway or Colonia. Yeah.
That has one of those where it's just random cars.
And they'll have like the sign and then they'll have like something in Cantonese underneath it.
Like to me, I'd be comfortable buying a used car from like a certified Honda dealer.
Right, that has a warranty attached to it. Yeah.
But not off one of these other lines.
No way.
Would you ever buy a used car off of a stranger?
I would not, no.
Would you ever sell your car to a stranger?
Again, something I could not do. I would probably take it to the dealership and try to get it as a down payment.
Yeah, but here's my situation, right? So if I'm interested in getting rid of my car now, when you go to the Kelley Blue Book website, it says if I trade this car in, the dealership would likely give me about $4,500 for it.
Okay.
If I sell it myself, I might get $7,000.
Mm.
That's a big difference.
Sure.
Number one, I would have no idea how to legally sell that to somebody.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I have a title. I give him the title of my car.
Cross your name out.
Put his name. I don't legitimately have no idea how to do
it. I think you need to transfer that at the DMV.
But do I go with this new guy who's getting the car?
I have no clue on that.
Then like the guy comes here and wants to take it for a ride, I just give him my car to test it?
I remember my dad doing that. I could swear.
Buying or selling?
Selling. And the guy showed up on his bicycle.
Mm-hmm. To your home.
Yeah. And he's like, well, can I take it for a test drive? And he left his bike there. My dad's like,
that's collateral.
That's the worst thing that happens. We have a bike.
That's right.
Right. So, I guess I would be, I would be like, well, I'd have to go with you.
Right.
For a test drive.
And then my fear would be, let's say I sell the car for $7,000.
Mm-hmm. He knows where you live.
He knows where I live.
Right.
2 weeks later, the transmission goes out.
Right.
Guess who's on my front porch?
Yeah.
That guy.
Hey, Dick. Right. You owe me.
What would you do?
Yeah, I know. I guess you would maybe set up shop at
meet me in the Target parking lot?
Or like a house.
But your name and address is going to be on the title.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know how you do that.
Right.
Then I thought of this technique. This is in my head how I was going to do it, right? So if the dealer will give me $4,500.
This, by the way, when we talked about the Fired podcast, yeah. This was our fallback job. And we're over here like, oh, no, I can never do that.
I have no idea. What if I did this? I go to the dealer and I like a car.
Yeah.
And the dealer wants to put you in that car today, right?
What does it take me to put you in this car today?
Right. And I go, well, what would you give me for my car? Well, we'll give you $4,500. Mm. My idea in my head, I would be like, well, I could probably get $7,000 for it if I sell it myself. So I'm going to sell it myself, then I'll come back. And do they want me to leave? Would they give me $7,000 for it or no? Yeah.
No, they wouldn't go up. All right. My manager's never done this before.
Let me go talk to him.
It'll give you $5,500.
Right.
Today.
Right.
Yeah.
But you got to take it today. He's got a guy
right.
who wants a Nissan.
Right.
And he can't.
With 125,000 miles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's very sure this
car's going to roll it back.
No problem. All right.
Yeah, that's a good. Now, remember Howard Stern used to do a commercial for, I think it was Car Cash.
Car Cash.
Yeah. And he would always bring up, there was a news report Robin read where a guy was selling his car and got killed doing it, right? Yeah. He would always bring that reference in the Car Cash commercial.
The Car Cash was sell your car to Car Cash.
Yeah.
Don't sell it in the paper. Strangers will come and kidnap your wife.
Right.
And throw her in the trunk.
I'm in love with the Car Cash guy.
Yes.
Is that,
I just sold my car to Car Cash.
And you would always reference Dan Foreman used that service. Do you know what Dan Foreman is?
He was worked on the Channel 9 show.
That's right, yeah.
Director.
Yeah,
or something.
That's right.
Now, if you were to go get a new car today,
yeah.
Based on all of your car experiences, what features have to be in there for you to make a purchase? Like for me, I'll start off.
Mm-hmm.
I need a rear view camera at this point.
Yeah, me too. I can't drive without it.
Yeah, I cannot parallel park like in New York if I did not have a rear view camera. Right.
I told you my car was in the shop.
Right.
So I borrowed my parents' old car.
Yeah.
It had no rear view camera. I was completely lost.
Like, how do you back up in this thing?
Yeah, I'm like, and it was a very long car to begin with, so I'm like, I assume I'm going to hit somebody. Yeah.
I'll stop backing up when I bump someone.
Right, yeah. But yeah, I think that's standard now. Every car made after a certain year has a backup camera.
I don't know, because I was looking at like Jeeps online the other day, and like the first, the lower models don't have it.
I'm almost positive it's a standard.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Standard feature?
I think so. Yeah.
I like that.
I would need a GPS.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though your phone is your GPS.
I guess you're right, but I still like seeing that map.
You do?
Yeah. Because, you know, if we've discussed in the past some of the fights me and my girl have had is when she's reading the Google Maps to me and she's not expressing it in the way I would like it. I need to visually see it sometimes.
What about if you had like that Apple Play in the car where you could put the maps right into the right onto your display. That would be nice.
That would be nice, yeah.
That's a solid feature.
But I don't have that.
All right.
Do you use any of the maps, the Google Maps?
Google Maps.
Yeah. Do you ever use Waze?
I used Waze once a couple years ago and it like ate all of my data.
Okay.
So I just stopped using it and went right back to Google Maps.
I have started using Waze.
And yeah.
It's a very good tool.
Really?
I think. Yeah, it's pretty crazy how specific they'll get.
Yeah.
They'll be like...
And it's accurate.
Yeah, pothole up ahead. I'm like, what? Who's writing this in? That's, you know?
Right. If you hit a pothole, would you go, let me get this on Waze?
I don't know how you're doing that and driving at the same time. It's pretty crazy how specific they get.
Really?
Yeah. And I wonder if it's like, let's just say it's a bad neighborhood, like all my gang of friends.
Right.
Let's all put, you need to take this detour and then we'll hijack this car.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
a high-tech gang where they know how to manipulate the Waze app.
Right.
Okay.
I wonder if they could do that. But I do like the Waze because they will tell you down to the second when you get home, this is a better option. They'll tell you, like, on the turnpike, take the trucks lane.
Really?
Over the cars lane.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Google Maps, very similar, I think.
They do tell you?
Yeah, they'll tell you to take truck or car.
Okay.
When available, Paul. What about, I now have this thing which I'm obsessed with, and I don't know that every car has this now. It's the tire pressure readout for each individual tire.
Oh, I like that.
I have them in my car.
Okay.
And I don't think I could go back to not having that.
That's a good feature because there's been times where I've gotten that low pressure light, and I've checked all my tires and they were fine.
They seemed fine.
It was the spare it was picking up the sensor on.
Really?
Yeah. So it was like, well, how would I have known?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will, like, when I'm driving to work, I'll click on the dashboard to get to that thing.
Oh, that's even...
To see what pressure is on all four tires.
Huh. Interesting.
And I don't think I could go back to not having that. And that's not something that every car offers.
Definitely not. Yeah.
So
you can run like a diagnostic on your...
Oh, I just like to look at the tire pressure. I don't know why. I guess it's my fear of getting a flat tire.
Sure.
In particular at 3 a.m.
Right.
Going to New York City.
But it would
through
be...
through Jersey City.
It may be like you might hit a nail.
Yeah.
At that very second and blow a tire.
Yes.
But you're just monitoring. Just
Yeah, like I have started like the one day when I was coming home from work. FAN is right by the Holland Tunnel.
Uh-huh.
So I start driving and the car felt weird. And as I get in the Holland Tunnel, the light went on, the tire light.
Okay.
And I clicked on it and it was like the back right tire and it was at like 20.
Wow.
Then you could, as I was driving, went down to 19, 18. Ooh. I was like, all right. I kind of had an idea then where I was at, that it wasn't just a flat tire, like where it was. And when I pulled in to the gas station, when I got out of the tunnel, where to angle the car so that the AAA, when the man came to fix my tire, I'd be exposed
when the grown-up
properly.
Came.
Yeah, when the adult man came.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, so that's very big for me.
I was just going to go through a couple of features I've either had in cars or had in a recent rental car.
A rental, yes.
The blind spot warning.
Yes, I think I need that now.
Yeah, I don't know how I felt about it because it was just lighting up when you were in traffic and there was a car next to you.
Right.
So it wasn't really...
It's on the rear view mirrors, right?
Yeah.
Or side view mirrors.
Right. And, you know, my girlfriend's like, oh, I love that thing. I wish I had that in my
car. Yes.
But she's like, I do see it on other cars and I sometimes think they're turning.
Oh, really?
Because I see that light come up.
See, when I see that, when I'm approaching a car on the highway and his light goes off, I'm comforted by that knowing, well, this guy's not going to get over. I know he's not going to just go over because there's lights right in his face.
Yeah, but I started ignoring it because it was so much traffic. I was like, well, this means nothing to me.
Right, you were seeing a lot of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But same with like the automatic emergency braking.
Yes. I don't think I would like that either.
You don't think so?
I don't know. That's the one where if you're approaching the car in front of you, it slows your car down without you hitting the brakes.
I was thinking more like if a kid jumped out in front of your car.
Okay,
slam on the brakes.
Yeah. Or deer.
Sure, yeah. But I've seen those commercials where like, I can't remember exactly, it was like an Asian kid jumped out in front of and the mother was just kind of like, she was like almost angry about it. Like, I don't know. She did wave in the... epilogue scene,
right?
I guess. Yeah.
So she almost hit the Asian boy.
It just slammed.
The car stopped on its own.
Right.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I would like that.
Right.
I don't want to hit any children with my vehicle.
Sure, and even like a backup warning detector. Have you seen those too?
See, I feel like I have that with the rear view camera. I feel like that does the job of the backup warning.
Sometimes you might get a little careless and you know, a kid might jump out and
a kid.
Stops.
Again,
yeah.
These kids are all over these cars.
Or a dog or
whatever. Running over everybody. All right, that's good. Yes, I might like that.
How about the remote car starter?
Oh, yes.
Do you have that?
I do have that.
No, I don't have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have to go outside.
Yeah, I do like that as a feature.
Yeah.
Something I didn't think I needed. Then now that I've had it for 5 years, I do require that.
You can't see your car physically from here?
I can't, but if I go up to this window, 90% of the time, if I do the buttons, I go out, it's started.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Which is helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't see my car at all in this apartment.
Right.
But it worked. It didn't work this morning, strangely enough. Huh. But every other day I've tried it, it worked.
Okay. But I have to go out, put my coat on, go out, start the car, then go back inside and just stand there like an idiot. Yeah.
Just waiting. Right. Right. And the hardest part is going outside in the first place.
Exactly.
Yes.
How about the keyless entry? I have that. It's a pretty standard thing, but
yes.
You know, the idea of putting your key into the
and turning
door.
It,
yeah.
Yeah. No one. I don't think anyone has that anymore.
No.
I don't think so. If you're telling me all these cars have a backup camera,
right?
They gotta have the keyless entry.
Yeah. How about a feature that you don't use?
Sunroof.
Yeah, me too.
And they sell you on that when you're in there, and you're like, yes, I do need a sunroof.
Right. I do see some of these newer cars where it's like an all-glass roof.
No interest.
Like, well, I mean, that does look pretty cool, but I know I'll never use it.
Yeah. Right. On the rare occasion where I'm like, oh, I'm going to open the sunroof. It's a beautiful day. I open it up. The sun is beaming right in there onto me. It's so hot.
Right. You're right. Or and then you can't hear the radio.
Right.
Yeah. It's like what? What's the point of this?
Yeah, and in weather like that, and the other thing is too, like, so you don't open your sunroof all winter.
Right.
And when spring comes around and you get a nice day, you're like, I'm going to open the sunroof. In my head, I'm like, this thing hasn't been opened all winter. I know it's going to open and not close.
Right.
Then what am I going to do?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially at 120,000 miles. Something's bound to go wrong.
Something is bound to go wrong, exactly.
Well, I'm not going to give you $4,500 for this thing that a sunroof's open.
Damn thing is broke.
Yeah, would you ever get a convertible or want a convertible?
No.
No?
I don't have any interest in that. It just seems like too much trouble.
I rented a Mustang convertible in Las Vegas once.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just driving around with it down. You know, it's only 110 in Las Vegas. Yeah.
Very comfortable.
So I got caught in traffic in Las Vegas, and I was just, you know, kind of fixated on, it's getting a little dark. How do I put this thing up?
Yes.
And a man came up, you want to buy a CD?
Right.
Like, and so I was like, no! Just like, I tried to...
You're exposed.
I tried to mimic how aggressive he was.
Right.
Yeah.
That you could be aggressive as well.
So I did put the roof
you did.
Up. And I couldn't get it in time because the light turned green, so I was holding it. And it
holding
really,
the roof.
It really gives you quite a bit of pressure.
Right, the wind pushing back.
And really, the lock that you put on to lock the roof on
to lock
was
it in
not
place.
Very it was plastic
really
yeah I was like oh that's gonna be trouble
yes
yeah
that is gonna be trouble right. At some point yeah no I would have no interest in a convertible
yeah
what about when you're looking for a car here's the other thing like right now we're in the dead of winter so you start to think if you're considering a car now you're gonna think oh I want a car that's going to be good in the snow.
100%.
Yeah. Right?
And that's only a short time.
It's only a short time, and you really give up gas mileage for a car that's really good in the snow.
Right.
So do you? What's your balance there? Do you? Most of the year, we're not dealing with snow.
Mm-hmm.
And you want good gas mileage.
Right.
But in those points of the year when we are dealing with snow, you're like, why don't I have a snow car?
I wish I had.
A Subaru.
Or a Jeep.
Yes.
That I could just cruise right by.
Yes.
And not have to worry. You know, I'm always like panicky.
Right.
Am I going to slide off the road? Or is this guy behind me going to slam into me? Because he's not taking the amount of space.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is your proper balance there?
Yeah. I guess I would probably not get a four-wheel drive car.
Right.
My car has all-wheel drive, which I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I do click it on.
Oh, it's a clickable thing.
Yeah.
So when you're in a snowy area, you click it on.
Yeah, again, like I said, I don't know what it's doing per se.
All the wheels are moving, Paul.
I have the guy told me if it's raining out, you could put all-wheel drive variable, which is a second click.
Mm.
And that, I don't know.
Again, most of the time, though, you're not clicking anything, right?
No.
You're just getting in your car, starting, getting going.
100%.
All right.
How about you? Do you
feel
like you need a car that's good in the snow?
I do, and yet every time I've gone and purchased a car, I always think I'd want the better gas mileage other 10 months out of the year.
Now would you get like an SUV? They seem pretty good in snow.
Yes. Right? The problem with a lot of the smaller SUVs, because I also considering gas mileage and parking in New York City.
Mm.
The problem with the smaller SUVs is a lot of them are so rounded for like aerodynamics.
Okay.
That they kind of look like mom cars.
Oh, I got you. So it's like almost a newer version of a minivan.
Yeah, like the Ford Escape, which I had a 2007 and a 2010.
Uh-huh.
They looked more like what a man would drive.
Okay.
Right? They were boxy.
Yeah.
They became very rounded. And all the commercials are like moms with shopping bags.
Okay.
They just, they don't look like a car a guy would drive.
Now. I got you.
So really the only thing left that I was looking at that's a small SUV, which would be good for parking in New York, good for snow, is this Jeep Renegade I like.
Ugh.
Why do you add that one?
I was going to rent that car.
You are?
I had gone to the rental thing saying, oh, you can get any SUV in this lot.
Oh, and you're like, Jeep Renegade.
Because she, my girlfriend, really liked it. We looked inside. It was so cheap and plasticky.
Really?
Yeah. Compared to the Nissan Rogue, was nice layout and dashboard. Mm-hmm. We chose the Rogue over the Renegade.
Maybe if you get a higher trim model of the Renegade, maybe it's nicer.
Yeah. We were not impressed. We weren't unimpressed.
You were unimpressed by that. Now, what about this? Like my nephew, that was his first car. He has a Jeep Renegade.
Okay.
Can a 48-year-old have the same car as a 17-year-old or 18-year-old?
I don't really subscribe to that. We did a midlife podcast.
Midlife crisis podcast.
Midlife crisis podcast. And we... You know, there's a time in your life where you can afford a nice sports car.
Yes.
And maybe that's not appropriate for the way you look and your gray hair or whatever.
Like, oh, he's in a midlife crisis.
Yeah, but still it's like, well, why not enjoy your money that you have? And if what you want and you like the look of it.
So if, to me, the Jeep Renegade makes sense based on gas mileage, in the snow, easy to park in New York City.
Uh-huh.
Then you say, Paul, go for it.
That's 100%.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm considering now, so I can't wait for every single person to hit me on Twitter
about
why
how bad it is.
Yeah. Why my friend had one, the four tires fell off while he was driving. My friend had one, the engine just blew up in his face.
You don't like a Nissan Rogue?
Or
you think it's too bulky for...
They were a little bulky, if I recall.
Really nice. It was drove very, very well. I really...
Did it seem like a mom car or no?
I didn't think so.
You didn't?
No.
I think those are pricey, though.
Probably.
Like, this Jeep Renegade's like...
Bare bones.
They were like a good one's like 26 grand.
Okay.
I think the Rogue is more pricey.
Okay. I was writing down dream cars.
Dream cars.
Cars that I really like.
Yes.
That I think are possible to own.
Okay. So speaking, dream cars not out of your league.
I think so.
Okay.
So like when you mentioned the Jeep Renegade.
Yes.
I do like the Jeep. Is it the Jeep Wrangler?
Yes, the regular Jeep.
Yeah, I think they're really cool looking.
They are cool looking.
Like my brother has one.
Mm-hmm.
I would like an all white.
Really?
Four door. Yeah, I think it looks kind of sharp.
Yes.
But they are $45,000 to $50,000 to start with.
And terrible gas mileage.
Oh, really? Okay.
Terrible.
I never even care about that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I look at that.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned getting an all white one. Now, the Jeeps in particular. And there are some other car brands that come like this. What are your thoughts on the orange version of a car?
No, my brother has the orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's cool looking.
Or the yellow version.
Not so much, but.
Really?
Yeah. You always like the yellow car.
I do.
Because you said your ultimate dream car back in the day, and I think this is on my list as well, is a Porsche.
Right.
I think that's our age group.
Yes.
That was always the pinnacle of success.
Right.
In if movies.
If I had a Porsche, Paul.
Yeah.
I will have said, ooh, I've made it.
Right.
I have made it in this world.
And I remember always saying to you, oh, if I ever hit the lottery, I would buy you a yellow Porsche. Because you always said you wanted the yellow
Porsche. Yeah, yellow Porsche. Yellow or that burnt orange.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
I like those as a car color. Yeah. But I one time bought a, when teal, Paul, was a popular color.
Okay.
I bought a teal Saturn.
Teal. Teal is like a teal blue?
Teal is like the Miami Dolphin blue.
Oh, okay.
Bluish green.
Yeah.
That was a hot color, Paul, for about a year. And I had a 5-year lease on that thing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not great.
Yeah.
But the white one, that does seem cool. A white Jeep
Wrangler. Yeah, I've seen it. I seen it. I was like, wow, this car looks really cool.
Yeah.
It was all white and it was a girl driving it. I was like, well, I was still like, oh, that still looks cool.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. All right. So that's an attainable dream car for you.
I think so. I also like the, you may have seen these commercials. They're kind of like artsy commercials. Mm-hmm. But it's for you. You're like, what is this product? But it's a Volvo. Is that how you say it?
Volvo?
XC60.
I don't know this
It's like a little SUV type car. That starts at $47,000.
Starts at, all right. Yeah. That seems high.
But the inside looks so really cool looking, and the display in the dashboard was giant. It was cool looking.
I would have a hard time paying more than $30,000 for a car.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that's not totally far-fetched.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So still under $50,000. Yeah,
like a Porsche
right.
was starting at like $90,000.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. I looked at like a Tesla.
Yes.
Would you be interested in something?
I don't think I'm interested in the Tesla.
That starts at $100,000.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. That seems a little much.
As an electric car.
Yeah. I don't want to be plugging a car in.
No?
I don't think we're ready for that yet.
Huh.
Until I see that everywhere where I could plug in everywhere.
Now, the Wawa gas station has a row of Tesla charging stations.
At the Wawa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like they have a whole row of things devoted.
What do you do while your car is charging?
I don't know. I guess in my case, I could walk across the street to my house.
Oh, it's right there. Where's your car? At the Wawa charging right now.
I hope it's safe.
Right.
But I see those on the turnpike, the charging station. I see a guy like just sitting in their car.
Right.
Chilling.
On their phone.
Probably.
Scrolling through Instagram and Twitter.
The battery on the, because they got their phone plugged in, the battery is just never going above a certain percent.
Right. Yeah. It gets to a point and your phone's draining it.
Right.
Do you trust any, any more dream cars that you would think are affordable?
I was just going to say like a Lexus coupe, a two-door coupe. That's, again, $50,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's
probably
high.
Unattainable.
That's a high end, yes.
Something I could dream of, right?
That's what about a Jeep Renegade, fully loaded, Paul? Where's that on
too
your...
Too plasticky.
Would you ever, do you have any reviews online that you trust, car reviews?
Hmm.
Like, do you trust the Consumer Reports?
I guess I would trust them above, like, a Car and Driver or a Motor Trend magazine.
You know what I tend to trust now? Edmunds.
Okay.
I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
But I feel like Edmunds is a trustworthy car review.
Right. But, like, I think, like, the Car and Driver or Motor Trend Car of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, they all have ads for cars.
Right, so it's like getting paid by somebody.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's
like
a good
Consumer
point.
Reports was always like, we accept no ads from anyone.
Right.
So we can be unbiased.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unbiased. Mm. I once had a, did you ever consider being a pickup truck guy for yourself?
I do like the look of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I've never.
I had that one pickup truck for a couple of years.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And that red Nissan pickup truck. Advantages and disadvantages to the pickup truck.
Uh-huh.
Advantages, you can only fit two people in the car. You and one other
comfortable,
person.
Yeah.
So you don't get stuck driving groups.
Okay. But like there's four-door pickup trucks.
Yes.
Right?
But I'm talking these smaller ones. Yeah, four-door ones, you're stuck.
Yeah.
It's like a regular car. But if you get the smaller pickup truck, you don't have to drive groups of friends around.
Uh-huh.
The bad news is if somebody wants to move something,
you're the first one on the list.
They're going to call you to help you, move a couch.
Right. My my brother's friend has a Colorado, is it? A Colorado Avalanche. Chevy Avalanche.
Chevy Avalanche.
So it was a four-door and a pickup thing in the back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were moving stuff in his
car. Yeah. He is his car. Well, he will be asked to do stuff.
It was really, it drove really nice, though.
Smooth.
Yeah.
All right.
Felt like it.
A smooth driving car.
Yeah, but I guess if you're an outdoorsy person, it makes sense, right?
Right.
Yeah.
If you're going to be doing outdoor activities.
Like a hunting thing, maybe. Yeah.
What about, but so sometimes they'll offer that in cars, like, and you and I will look at those and go, huh, I could take this this Jeep off-roading, it says. I would never do that.
No. And I think my brother has the Jeep that, is able to go off-road.
Yes,
but it's such a hassle to change the settings and,
right,
yeah,
to be able to go bouncing over rocks,
right? He was like saying changing it to four wheel drive is even such a pain in the ass. I believe he told me this, but
right,
yeah
it's a couple years old now, that truck,
right?
That Jeep, it's probably easier now to get things into four wheel drive,
but they said, oh, you can ruin your transmission driving on it when it's not needed.
Yeah, see, I don't need that.
Right, yeah.
There's too many things.
Because you're like, well, do I turn it on or not?
Right.
Yeah.
When am I supposed to put this in the four-wheel drive mode?
How are we doing on time?
Oh, Paul, we're at 49 minutes.
Okay.
Adjust accordingly.
Let's see. How about like the... We discussed on the resolutions predictions podcast
last week. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, oh, well, maybe we'll save this for this one.
Oh, okay.
You had asked, would I get into a taxi cab that was driven, self-driving
cars.
Yeah. Would I trust that?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would say, oh, we'll ask again.
All right. Paul, will do you trust getting into a self-driving car?
No, not at this time.
You would not?
No.
It's not been tested yet.
Right. I know I was reading some, in doing some research,
yes,
research for this. Uber bought a whole fleet of those Volvos that I like.
Oh, yes.
To use as a self-driving car.
To make them robotic?
Yeah. So I guess they're testing them out in Pittsburgh.
All right.
So it seems like they were doing it on a track.
Okay.
Like set up like a city, and they were having like their employees like ride a bike in front of it to see if it would stop.
Okay.
And the woman that did the story was like, she was nauseated by how like often it was stopping. And
she was a passenger?
Yeah. And the guy that, you know, was part of the test thing guy. Mm-hmm.
The test guy.
Yeah. He was like, yeah, we're emphasizing safety over comfort right now, just so we're not hitting people.
Yeah, we don't want to be driving over people and
right,
crushing people's bones.
And she was saying, like, you know how like a garbage truck will just, you know, you're stuck behind a garbage truck.
Yes.
And you would have to go around and go into the other lane. Like the car was not doing that at all.
It just sits there and waits.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good car in traffic.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's going to be many years until they can perfect self-driving cars.
Now, according to the thing I was reading, it was saying 2019, we will have...
One more year.
Yeah, a fleet of self-driving. There's so many people throwing money at this thing.
They want it to work.
Google is involved in it. You know, they seem like they don't stop until they get it right?
Google, yes. Yeah. Yes, Google seems to be very committed to the things that they're into.
Uber, there's all these other companies I never even heard of that are involved in self-driving cars.
I saw that Pizza Hut bought up a bunch of trucks.
Right.
Like big vans that were going to be self-driving to deliver your pizza.
Well, I heard drones at some point, but I have not seen that in action.
I think we're off of drones now and we're self-driving cars.
Okay.
Did you ever know how to drive a stick shift?
No.
And no interest in learning
that? No interest in that, yeah. I think I brought that up in the things I think I could learn. That was one of the things I would never even
attempt,
yeah.
Well, now you really don't have to, but it used to be, you know, the car would be cheaper if you got it in a stick shift.
That's right, yeah.
It would always be $1,000 cheaper.
Okay.
So when you were looking at back, you know, in the 80s or 90s, in the 90s, you know, an $18,000 car was now $17,000 if you would drive the stick shift.
Right.
When you were counting every one of your pennies to make your car payment, that made a difference.
Right.
I learned, and I don't know if I could do it now.
Sure.
If it's like riding a bike, as they say.
Okay.
Because no one has a stick shift anymore.
Nobody I know.
Eddie Scazzeri does.
He does, okay.
He got a car a couple years ago where he had to order a stick shift.
For what make?
Honda Fit, the tiny Honda.
Okay.
Because they didn't have them on the lot. They don't have them on the lot anymore as stick shifts. Because like, no one wants them.
Back in when I was looking at cars, I liked the Honda Civic. It was like the sporty version. I think it was SI.
SI, yeah.
But that only came in a stick shift.
Yes.
And I was like, well, who would get this?
Who is this for?
You're right, exactly. going back to the robot car real quick.
Robot cars, yes.
How about... would you trust a car to parallel park for you?
Ooh.
Because you see those commercials.
Yeah.
Where like the guy's coming to meet the family for the first time.
Right.
Like he's dating the daughter. And so like, ooh, that's a tight squeeze. Let's see if he can do it. A lot of pressure on him. And then he just kind of lifts his hands up.
Yes.
And the car is spinning the wheel itself.
Yeah.
I would not trust that.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Now, I guess you have to control the gas and brake.
Oh, is that right?
I think you line it up.
See, I thought the thing just... you could just step out of the car and it would take it.
No, I think...
take it from here.
I don't know. I feel like that you line up the car where it's supposed to start.
Okay.
Then you hit the button. Then you let go of the gas and it starts to slowly back it and it turns the wheel when it should. But I think you have to control the brake and the gas.
Well, I see. I was thinking it was taking the same technology that's used for like the emergency braking.
And not smashing.
Yeah. Things. So it would be probably... get a sensor saying, "Well, I'm too close to this."
Yeah,
thing. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think I would trust that.
Yeah, I know.
I'd like to see that in action,
right?
Because that is a feature actually that has been around for a number of years. Mm-hmm.
You're right.
The parallel self-parallel parking or parallel parking assist, I think they call it.
Yeah,
where it's not doing everything, but your hand definitely isn't on the wheel.
Right.
That's what that guy does.
Now, if you think there's self-driving cars in the future,
yes, the future.
Going back to the thing, do you think people will just be jumping in front of these cars and letting the robot hit them and then say, "Oh, I guess I'll sue Google now."
Right.
Right.
I'm going to sue this Google robot.
Yeah. This car just slammed into me.
Yeah. These cars are going to have like those cameras.
Probably. Yeah.
Dash cams.
Right.
Would you ever put a dash cam on your car?
No.
You've seen them though, right?
To like a GoPro?
Yeah. They're little. They're specifically called dash cams for the cars.
Okay.
And you're supposed to turn it on every time you get in your car.
Okay.
And it films what you are seeing while you're driving.
This is for someone's enjoyment to watch, or is it just...
I think it's if you're in an accident, to see whose fault it was. Like, if you're not at fault, you can prove it with the video.
Okay. So, I just so happened to be filming my commute.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, well, I guess the dash cams work where every time you start the car, they start on their own.
Okay.
And then it like saves it to like an SD card in the dash cam.
Oh, really?
And then once the card gets filled, it starts recording again. So if you wanted something, you would have to grab it right away to save to your computer or something.
I gotcha.
I've looked at them on Amazon. Like, maybe I need a dash cam.
Okay.
But I feel like if I got into a car accident or I hit a deer, I would not want to look at that again.
A car accident?
Yeah.
Like you're hitting another car?
Yeah.
But
I'd like to see
if
it's not your fault, it helps in your insurance and
right.
the police.
Right.
But I don't think I would want to review that.
Okay.
Like if I hit a deer and I had my dash cam on, I would feel very strange to go back and look
like
at that.
Sad watching it or?
Just like, just seeing myself in a traumatic situation.
Okay.
Car accident.
The closest thing I can come to that is I got a ticket for going through a red light.
Mm-hmm.
You can go view. I was like, I don't think.
The street cam?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I was able to view, and I was just going right through
really?
A red light. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Where did you go do that?
Route 1.
No, but like where did you go to watch you go through it?
It was on YouTube. No.
The police?
No, it must have been like a link to, New Jersey.
Where they sent you the ticket?
They
and said,
me,
"Here you are cruising right through the
right,
red light.
Right, you can go view the video."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you were like, "No way, man!"
Right? I was like, "No." And then I was like, "Oh yeah."
Oh, yep. There I am. There it's red, and there
it is red,
and there I go coasting right through it.
I was taking. I was in Atlantic City recently. We talked about and both trips to and from. We took a cab.
Okay.
A taxi cab, and I've noticed this on every cab ride I take in Atlantic City. I don't take cabs outside of. Atlantic City.
Right.
Just because you're not driving, you're usually drinking.
Yes.
Every taxi cab has a check engine light on.
So true.
I wonder why.
So true.
Is it because they're stopping so much and
I don't know.
Idling? And
they do not take that warning light seriously.
They just, when I had to get my car in for repair, the service engine light came on. I was like,
right, I wouldn't go anywhere.
A deep panic.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, well, should I tow it to the.
That's so true.
These guys are just riding right through it.
I have I will take an Uber or a Lyft around town. I like to go to Asbury Park and stuff when
right.
I'm down by Gina. And
Gino or Gina?
Gina.
Okay.
And most of the Uber drivers, they have the tire warning light is on.
That's funny, yeah.
But it's always something.
Right.
Either one of those. Like you said, if my engine light was on or my tire warning.
Right.
I'd pull over. I'd be like, I cannot continue.
Right, right. I debated whether to continue driving because I was close to home. I was like, What do I do here?
Right, the check engine light is on.
It's coming on. It was coming on intermittently.
Is yeah.
That, so, but I kept driving, and yeah.
And what did it turn out to be?
There was water in the engine. I had taken my car to an 8-minute oil change place.
Oh yes.
So
in those 8 minutes, they doused water into it.
No. They called me and they said, you have oil spraying all over your engine.
Really?
They're like, I would take this to a mechanic. I was like, I'm here right now.
You are the mechanic. Help me.
Is there another 8 minutes you want to add on to this?
Do a 16-minute thing and fix it.
So anyway, I took it to a mechanic. It was a valve cover needed to be replaced.
Okay.
So they go, okay, we cleaned your engine and you're fine.
Okay.
So I this was like 4 days later, that service engine light came on and took it. I had to wait a week to take it to the repair shop. And when I did, I was like, probably the powertrain is gone.
Right.
Yeah. All these.
Something.
So I was like, huh.
Something big. Alternator.
Yeah, oh, just something, thousands of dollars. Yes. I was imagining in my head, like, what, should I just junk this car and start anew? You know what? But he called me up and he was, he really could have told me anything, but he was honest to me. He says, oh, when we cleaned the engine out, we left water in the engine.
Really?
Yeah.
And then they fixed it.
They drained it and it's a knock on wood running fine.
Now, do you generally trust a mechanic or no?
Generally, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. You?
Yeah. I would say generally no. I'm going to take the car to the dealer guy, which some people.
I was
going to
ask you that. Yeah.
Some people would be like, you're an idiot. Never right. Take the car to the dealer.
I don't trust the dealer mechanic.
More or less.
Yeah, or I'd rather take it to this gentleman than a dealer mechanic.
Really?
They seem like they'll just take a sledgehammer to it. Like they're in cahoots with the sales.
The dealer, you think?
Right.
The only time I take it to the dealer, look, when you're under warranty, you're always going to go to the dealer.
I gotcha.
You know, I don't know, like. It's you really need to find a mechanic that you legitimately trust.
Right.
That's the thing. And once you move or something, if you need a new mechanic and you don't have a mechanic.
Right. Yeah, I hear
what
you.
What are you going to do?
Angie's List.
Angie's List, yeah. I don't know. Right. So, like, where do you go? How do you, who's this guy you go?
My dad knows the guy.
Your dad recommended him?
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
See, dads always, I feel like dads know a mechanic.
They know somebody.
They know somebody.
Right. Some friend of a friend kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just going to throw out some general
things. Throw
car
out some
things,
yes.
Like, especially now when you're driving and there's salt on the road and there's always precipitation coming off of a truck or something.
There is.
I just have a constant crap load of like salt, soot on my windows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm constantly cleaning it off and then 2 seconds later it's got
back on
a layer of something.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very annoying.
Yeah, the windshield wipers themselves, when you get new ones, you're like, oh my God.
I was blind and now I can see.
Exactly. But 2 weeks later.
It's right back to the
same
crap.
They're right back to the crap ones.
I've seen the commercials for like Rain-X.
Yes.
But I've never tried it.
I did it years ago.
No, really?
It was very helpful.
Okay.
You could drive without even using your windshield wipers.
Really?
Yeah, but it is a bit of a process to do.
Okay.
And then you forget about it.
Right.
Rain-X, yeah.
I gotcha. How about would you ever drive one of those smart cars?
Oh.
Which is those two-seaters.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't mind the smart car. I wouldn't want to drive it on the highway.
Okay.
Like on the turnpike or the parkway going into New York City. But like around town, I would be interested in that. Like as a second car.
I gotcha. But I thought that would be perfect for someone having to park in New York City.
Yes.
Because you could just virtually park where a bike could park.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, you can fit into a lot of tiny spots in New York. And oftentimes when I leave a little space behind me, I'm like, oh, this is good. No one could get in there. Come out, a smart car is jammed in there. And they are right on your ass. They don't care.
Yeah. I saw somebody posted, I don't know if it's called a meme, but it was just it was on Instagram. It was just a picture of someone's Twitter.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, I'm tired of being catfished at a parking garage. Because you go and you think the spot's empty and it's a Fiat 500.
Yes, yeah. One of those tiny cars. Right.
I would think a Fiat 500 is that's a chick car.
A Fiat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
The Fiat and what's the other one?
Mini
The Mini Cooper, yeah.
Those
girl car.
Seem like women cars. Yeah.
Yes.
Although I bet you they'd be fun to drive.
They would be.
Yeah. But yeah, it's probably not a manly
car. Not very manly, no.
I wouldn't want to pick up a date in that.
Yes. Say.
Yeah.
I'll come by around 8 in my Fiat.
Right.
Very manly car. My Mini Cooper.
I was going to go over some, like, maybe some car ads and things like that. Like, do you like the car ads with Chevy with the guy? He's kind of like always doing a test.
I don't know this one.
You do know this one. He's got a beard. He's got a kind of like a wispy hair.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
He's always like some focus group.
Yes,
focus group. Which are obvious actors.
Right.
Yeah.
One of these trucks has won every single award.
Yeah. For safety. Would you want to buy one of these?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I'd definitely be interested in that car.
Oh, 100%. I'm going to buy one right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Chevy again.
I looked that guy up, and he is an actor.
He is.
He's been on like NCIS or one of those type cars. I would think once you do a commercial job like that, you can't go into like any serious acting.
Correct.
Right?
Like I did see the Toyota woman.
Jan from Toyota.
Yeah, I saw her in some TV movie or whatever. I was like, that's Jan from Toyota.
Totally takes you out of it.
Out of it completely.
Right? If she was doing like a dramatic role, you're like, Jan, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Just drive away in your Toyota.
Yeah, come on, Jan. You've got the RAV4. You can get away in the snow.
Like, what's the appeal of Jan? Like, she's okay looking.
She's okay. Right. She's not the most beautiful girl.
She's not funny.
She's not hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what they're going after there.
She's kind of perky, I guess. But
she's not even a salesperson. She's a receptionist.
Right. She works the front desk. And yet she'll start to, like, yeah, you're right. She works the front desk, and yet she will try to push a car on you.
Yeah. If I was a salesman, I'd be like, hey, Jan, could you back off these people? I'm trying to. Yeah.
These are my customers, right. Jan.
Yeah. Don't tell them all the incentives. I'm going to try to get as much money out of them as I can.
But knowing what I know about national TV ads, that Jan's making a fortune.
You think so?
Yeah.
Huh.
I bet she's over. Because she's the Toyota main person in national ads year round, guarantee she's making over $500,000 a year.
Wow.
At least.
Okay.
Maybe up to $1 million.
Wow.
For real.
Could she do public appearances at like a Toyota dealership?
Maybe. It's probably all part of her package deal.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
She's probably required. Jan, you've got to go.
Open up a Toyota dealership in Bismarck.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've got to do a meet and greet this Saturday.
Do you have are you opposed to buying a foreign car? Like, you know, people like, oh, America first. No.
No, because everyone will be like, like they'll name a Japanese car. They'll go, that's actually built in Ohio.
Yeah, that's what my Nissan said.
Yeah.
Which I don't, parts and labor were made in Ohio. And it's like.
And then you want to buy like an American car. They go, oh, those the transmissions are made in Japan.
Or Mexico.
Like, what do you want me to do?
Right, exactly. What car do I buy then?
Right. I think actually as a country, we've gotten over that.
You're right. Like, yeah. But, you know, Trump did run on bringing those jobs back. Those manufacturing jobs and things. I don't know how that's going. Like, right. I do see like, oh, they're going to bring some plants back. I never see a follow-up on that.
Right. They're not here yet.
Over the next 100 years.
Yes, they're going to go all come back.
A lot of car ads will say, oh, this Honda, or let's just say a Chevy Malibu starts at $20,000. Then you see the fine print. I always pause it.
To see what they're up to.
And it says, as displayed, $46,000. Right. You're like, that's a $26,000 difference.
Yeah, that's a double difference.
Right,
there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it looks cool with the Apple Play and
right.
this feature and that feature, but that's not part of the standard package.
Yeah, not only that, but when you go to a lot now to go look at a car or buy a car, they don't have the most basic models on the lot.
You're right. Yeah, it's always something.
They're always got a package.
Right.
You know, the technology package, the safety package.
I had a guy I work with who bought his car online.
Really?
Yeah, and they... He said one day he negotiated, you know, he test drove like at a dealership and didn't buy from them. And then he went online. They beat the price that he was getting from the dealership and a flatbed truck drove up with his Honda.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I was trying that. I was using their rates or what would you call it? Quotes and taking that to the dealership. And they were just saying, well, we could beat it by X amount. So I was like, well, I'd rather do that.
Right.
than trust this
whoever's coming up in a flatbed truck with their car. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I don't know if anyone does that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being a car salesman, everyone must just be so skeptical of you when you approach them to sell them a car.
Totally.
Like they still think the car salesmen are like untrustworthy people. Skeevy. Yeah.
Right. I bet you if Jen was truly the receptionist at that Toyota, she'd be probably had sex with half the staff. Right. They half all talked her into it.
Right. Jan gets around the office.
Right. We probably mentioned this before, but having the general car insurance.
Yes.
Yeah.
The general.
Yeah.
The cartoon with Shaq in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not getting that.
If you got into an accident and you had to swap insurance information,
yeah,
and they gave you the general insurance card, you'd be like, I'm totally fucked on this. I'm like,
I hope I have uninsured motorists on my car. Because this is not going to hold
up. This is not going to hold up. And I'm going to take this. Well, I have to take it to which repair shop?
I'd call my Allstate agent. He'd be like, and did the other guy have insurance? Yeah, the general. Ah, fuck. You got no shot at getting money.
Would you rather get into a fender bender with someone that has the general car insurance or your car totaled by someone that has State Farm?
Ooh. I would say car totaled. Because then you're getting a new car.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You're forced to.
Yeah, but you're going to have to go through a little bit of, weight and hassle and stuff. But
I figure State Farm, you could probably do everything on an app. The general, they'd be like, you'd be calling, getting voicemail constantly.
I read what the general was. I've never priced it.
Okay.
It's for high risk people.
Yeah.
So people that probably had car accidents in the past and things like that.
So if you have the general as your car insurance, something went wrong.
Yeah. I read the reviews. I don't know what site I was on, but it was all one star.
Right.
Yeah. Like they wouldn't pay, for repairs and things like that. Yeah.
I love your research. You're like, I was checking out reviews of the general.
The general for no reason.
You were looking at the actor credentials of the guy in the Chevy ads.
Oh, there was some debate on what his real name was. Yeah.
Your internet history must be like Jan from Toyota's yearly salary.
I didn't look that up, but Jan was a part of the Groundlings,
which
is a famous LA comedy troupe. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good job by Jan.
How about Esurance? That's another one that's I'm skeptical of. I think they have their insurance card on the phone.
Right.
So if you did get into an accident and he just whips out a screenshot,
yeah,
you'd be like, that could be anybody.
Could you text me your insurance card? Although the thing that bugs me with Esurance, they go, it's cheaper than this, cheaper than this. And they go, Esurance is an Allstate company. Well, I'm an Allstate person. Give me the cheaper Esurance.
Right, yeah, but it's not really part of it.
It's not, right?
Yeah, something weird about
that's
that.
That's they're trying to get some credibility in their
I think so, yeah. Maybe they just invested in it a little bit.
All right.
Maybe. How much?
We should probably wrap up, Paul.
I was just going to, real quick, we may have said this before, but the best foods to eat while driving.
Best foods to eat while driving, okay.
You know I'm a big, I eat my lunch usually in the car.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll sit, listen to the
radio. But you're not driving.
Right, but if I am driving, what's a good food to eat?
Hmm.
Like if a road trip?
As a meal or just a snack?
Both, I guess.
I eat like granola bars driving.
You're fun.
I'll eat a banana driving. Is this what you were thinking?
Yes. I was going to say a burger.
A burger.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
a
that's
good,
manageable. Right.
A French fry.
Right. Oh, right. French fry is perfect.
Yeah. Beef jerky. If you're already talking about a snack. No subs.
No subs.
You couldn't stop. So at a rest area, you'll see a Quiznos.
And you're right.
You can't really take that with you.
No.
Yeah.
Even a burger, like you mentioned a burger, you can't get a burger that has a lot of stuff on it.
You're right. Yeah,
it.
Like a Whopper you can't get.
Yeah.
But I'll get a plain single
burger.
Burger.
Yes, that would work.
And nothing you need to dip.
Right.
Yeah, you can't be opening up dipping sauce.
Put your dipping sauce in the cup holder.
Right. How about, I know Oregon just had a self-serve gas.
Yes.
That they were, two of the states, us and New Jersey and Oregon.
Don't pump.
Right. But now they're doing self-serve gas.
Okay.
And people are not doing very well with it.
Oh, they're not. They're having some problems.
There's been a lot of people driving off with the nozzle.
Oh, really? Stolen yeah. their tank?
I heard this on Mike and Trey.
Mike and Trey Wingo?
Yeah.
You're listening to that instead of the war show I work on. Got it. All right.
You were in commercial.
Oh, sure.
You were doing general commercial.
Need insurance?
I guess that's it.
All right. That was the car podcast, Paul.
Mm. Okay.
All right. Listen to it while you're in your car. Hopefully you were in your car when you heard this.
Right. Driving.
Driving.
Not eating.
Not eating.
Yeah.
And I hope your insurance card doesn't say the general on it. Now, if they want to advertise with us, we'll gladly talk them up.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, let us give us some more information about yes. this.
Sounds this terrific. Insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
The general was going to do a big buy on the podcast. They're out now.
You think the general could afford a Super Bowl commercial?
Oh. I bet you that you do see the general on like a Super Bowl commercial.
No way.
Yeah, you're right. They do that weird cartoon.
Daytime.
Yeah, yeah, right. Computer-generated commercials.
Right, they're doing daytime TV like right. a Maury.
Right.
So you must be high risk if you're at home yes. during the day.
When Maury's on. Right. right. That's a good point. All right, that's the Car Podcast. See you.
Bye.